Okay, so if Christianity is real and our faith is in a living God, then even in what took place this morning with myself, it shouldn't be like a surprise, because it's a faith, it's a journey, right? With a living Savior, which means we're all going to face somewhere in that emotions, change up, change of plans, change the unexpected. And if your faith can't face those things in a manner that honors Christ, or first, if you can't, if you're not in situations like that where your faith is forced to face those things, then when you finally do hit those kind of circumstances, you're not going to know what to do. How does my faith speak into this difficulty? How does my faith speak specifically when I'm having a bad day, but I still got to go to work? What do I do then? Does my Christianity help me there? My hope is that what you saw is an example of that. Yes. Because for you all, Sunday is a day of worship. It is for me, but it's also a what day for me? A work day for me, which means I still have to deal with my junk on the day that I not only come to worship, but to work. And that's what y'all saw in real time. So I do hope, if nothing more, because I said this to the deacons, I'm so grateful that they followed me out there to pray over me, that I was not, oh, you can clap up for them, yes. I was not, this was whatever, if any thought crossed your mind that he was making this about him, that is a lie. It's quite the opposite. I'm trying to keep Jesus at the center, which means I have to remove myself if I'm going to deflect from his glory. And that's what I did in that moment. And if I thought at that time after them praying with me and talking to me that I would still be a distraction to that, I wouldn't have come back in. Because Jesus matters more than me having to be present to do something for him. Does that make sense? And so while they prayed over me, and we talked, the book of Philippians just kept coming to my mind. There are certain passages in the book of Philippians that always encourage me. The fact that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, you talk about give a brother hope. The fact that Paul says he's an ambassador in chains and wrote his letter smack dab in the middle of a prison, man, that gives a brother hope. The fact that he says we are counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that gives us hope, gives me hope. That he works in us to do according to his will. And then afterwards tells us not to do anything with complaining and grumbling because it is a distraction of his light. That's called check. And then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All that's in the book of Philippians. And as they were praying over me, the Spirit was also ministering to me from that book. So I'm not going to preach what I had planned. I'm just going to read the book of Philippians. That's it. You better stop, boy. Just because of that, I'm now going to preach through the book of Philippians. good stuff. And if this seems like a shameless plug, only because I just happened to see it out of the corner of my eye. May today be another example of our core value. We will do church as family. And sometimes family has little spats and you have to work it out because you family. So, okay. Book of Philippians, chapter 1. If for those who are tuning in online, if you are still here, man, I pray the Spirit has spoke to you as well in light of how this Sunday morning has went. And because I'm flipping it up and doing a different book that wasn't a part of this, you know, for the service, it won't be up on the screen, so you're just going to have to open your Bible and follow along. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you were all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Okay, if you're looking for a point, there goes a point. Verse 9. That your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. I think that's a good takeaway. One, so far. Let that be a prayer of all of ours. And I pray this, that my love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. Ooh, that's a good word. I pray that will be the case for today. Yeah. May that be the case for the day, Jesus. Make that happen, Holy Spirit. That the surprise of the way the service has turned out would actually advance, be an advancement of the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospels. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know this will lead to my salvation, my deliverance, through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Man, that is a word. Verse 20, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Amen. Man, let that be another point. Verse 20, let that be another point of takeaway. That our eager expectation and hope is that we will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in our being, whether through life or death. That's a way to live, church. No matter what you face, pray that it will honor Christ. No matter what you endure, pray that it will honor Christ. And then don't allow the enemy to take whatever you're enduring and suffering and dealing with and make you feel ashamed of it. Turn it and use it with courage to the honor of Christ, whether by life or by death. And then we get verse 21. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. Okay, all right, here I go now. I was talking to a number of accountability partners over this week about the stuff that I deal with. And without them saying this verse in particular, that was what one of two of the guys encouraged me with. One in particular flat out said, when I told him how I feel about pastoral ministry, things like that, his response to me was, but what does that have to do with God? Until God tells you don't or stop, you don't get to determine when you end. I was like, yeah, for real, George. And then we both started laughing, and he was like, what's the most dangerous prayer you can pray? Never. He was like, yeah, exactly. Don't say what you won't ever do. That might be the very thing God says, nope, challenge accepted. Now go do it. Well, that's kind of this verse 22 right here. If I live on in this body, this means fruitful work for me, fruitful work for you. So long as you have breath in your body, you still have work to do. And I don't know which one I should choose. Verse 23, I'm torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. For anybody that deals with depression or anxiety, I feel you. Anybody that deals with, that too, but this is more specific to folk that question their purpose in life, their existence. Because depression will have you thinking inwardly to the point of what? Contemplating suicide. Contemplating checking out on life altogether. Anxiety can make you feel like it's hopeless. What's the point? And right here in verse 24, to remain in your being is more necessary for your sake. So somebody else needs me around, even when I don't want to be around. Somebody else needs you around, even when you don't want to be around. Are you catching that? Let that be another point to take away. The reason why it is necessary for you to know that you are here for a reason is for the sake of somebody else. And you might not even know who those people will ever be. Some, clearly, if you married and got kids, that should be obvious. But outside of that, there are others that the Lord knows they need your presence. Verse 25. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. There it is. It's not for your glory that you remain, nor for the glory of the sake of the other, but to the boast of Jesus Christ. Because somebody's going to give God praise for who you are in their life, or what you've done in their life, or what you've done for their life. I receive that. I repent for not acknowledging that. Verse 27.
Thank you. Just one thing. As citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, that's a, there go another takeaway. Your citizenship is in heaven. Live your, yes, sojourner, yes. Live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Man, that should be the aim for all of our day-to-days, y'all. If Jesus Christ is beautiful to you, if what he's done for you matters to you, then fight with whatever you have to live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together. 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 Contending together. For what? The faith of the gospel. If we don't do it together, church, amen, we're going to fail. Not being frightened in any way by your opponents. I'm going to read that whole verse again. Just one thing. As citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your salvation. And this is from God. For it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are engaged in the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. Chapter 2, verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship, koinonia, with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's together again, is it not? Together. Together. Same love. Thinking the same way. Having, that's being like-minded. Having the same love, like-hearted, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's together. And then the caution. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Oh, Jesus, let me get through this. Verse 5, adopt the same attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, that wonderful, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Therefore, because of this, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is another word, if nothing more, which I do pray that you've gotten more out of the accounts of today. But let that be something that maybe you saw with your own eyes. You're a pastor working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Real time, broken in all, with no shame, for the honor of Christ. Why? It's here, right here. For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose. I so am so grateful for the Holy Spirit in my life. Because if you take him away, lock me up. I am a danger to any community. But with the Holy Spirit, I am something far greater. Because of him working in me, working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Oh, please, 13, let that be a point, a takeaway. Those days that are tough, those moments that are tough, and you wonder, how the heck am I going to get through this? How am I going to get to the next moment? Hear this. Or how am I going to exercise self-control? How am I going to fight for joy? How can I have peace when I'm aroused at that moment? For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose. We have a greater power inside of us. A power to repent when we do make the wrong decision in the moment. And a power to pause, process, and make the right decision, even if it is inconvenience for the other people around us. And he works it out according to his good purpose. 14, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Why? so that you may be blameless and pure children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Okay, that is another reason why you should not be ashamed of your brokenness in Christ. Because when you own it and you repent, you own it and you forgive, you own it and you right your wrongs, you own it and you exercise whatever fruit of the Spirit you need to in that moment, that shines in a crooked and perverted generation like stars in the world, because it looks different from what the crooked and perverse generation do. You want to stand out? Here's how you stand out. I'm going to go back. Live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ, that will stand out in a crooked and perverse generation, and you will shine like stars in the world. By holding firm to the word of life, then I can boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Church, I apologize. I apologize if I don't publicly speak well of you all. I apologize to staff, to leaders, to volunteers, if I do not privately and publicly honor you for what not only you do, but what you pour out as a sacrificial service of your faith to our Lord's church here at Northwest. I apologize. It may come off that if any time anything that I say comes off as if I am ungrateful or not proud of who we are as a church, I repent and I apologize for that. Our church is great. Every church is broken and flawed because people are involved. But this church, we love well, even failing along the way. We show up to serve well, even if y'all don't always sign up. You'll show up. Oh, you were coming? Didn't know that because you never signed up. When there is a need, we tend to get an overwhelming response. You guys have been extremely kind and gracious to me. I would say the same for my family. My wife isn't here at the moment. You have been kind and gracious to myself and my family. And if I don't say that enough, I truly do apologize. I don't quote need like constant verbal affirmation. At least not from y'all. I do like that from my wife a lot. And the reason I wanted to pause and apologize, because I just got convicted reading verse 17. I do feel like I pour out my all, but I don't think I have been public enough with my gladness and joy with all of you. And so I apologize if you have ever felt like I don't appreciate you or see you or honor you. Please forgive me. Verse 18, in the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you as soon so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Okay, pause. 20 and 21, if you ever wanted to know why the philosophy about how we do leadership here, how we appoint leaders, down to deacons and what will eventually be elders, for you, circle 20 and 21, this is why we take our time. We don't rush to slap the label of leader on a person here unless they're called to that area. That is, they have a specific gifting and skill set, as well as the qualifications. They are mature enough to handle that level of leadership. Because, ready? I have no one else like-minded. You want someone like-minded who will genuinely care about the interests of the church and not just acquiring a title for themselves. All who seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, and then the interests of Christ Jesus, even if it means to their loss. Because when you step up and serve in leadership, you might get fingers pointed at you more for what you aren't doing than for what you are doing. And if you got in leadership for the right reasons, then it's all for the sake of Christ anyway. And that's what helps you to endure those tough seasons. Verse 22, but you know his proven character, that is of Timothy, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him so that you may rejoice again when you see him and I may be less anxious. I love how Paul is honest in his letters. He doesn't shy away from his own fears. He doesn't shy away from his own brokenheartedness. He doesn't shy away from his own anxiety. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. Okay, I'm looking at that time. Okay, let's see where we land after I try to finish chapter 3. Let's see. There's only four chapters in Philippians. Okay. Shannon, where are you at? I don't have my little work. I don't have the order of service. What was y'all game plan after? Do you have a song after this? Okay. Can I have us repeat too? Can you do the name of Jesus one again? Yeah. Shucks. What's the make room? Is that the one that you have the special for this month? Yeah. Okay, that's perfect. Can we do the name of Jesus one and that one again? Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, let me see. Okay, chapter 3. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. If Christ is not your everything, you will continue to find validation and identity in your resume. Christ has to be your everything. That's what Paul says. He just gave us his resume. But all of that is a loss for Christ. I repent for that too, Jesus. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Oh, that's another good word. Make every effort to take hold of Christ and know that Christ has hold of you. Give it your all. 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Oh, that's a word for folk in here that question how mature they are. In any case, live up to whatever truth you have attained. Live at the level you are, and as God grows you more and more, live according to that level. Don't try to live to the level of somebody else that you look up to. Live to the level where you are, to the truth that you know. Oh, that should be, let that be a point. Verse 16. Verse 17. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, listen to his honesty here. I'm crying as I am writing this letter that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body, amen, by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. What time that say? I got glasses on. I still can't see y'all. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and finish I'm going to finish chapter 4. Don't worry about the clock. Yes, I receive it. So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Judea and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Pause. Men, if you have a problem with a woman in leadership, you have a heart issue, not a biblical issue. If you have a problem with women serving in leadership, you have a heart issue, not a biblical issue. Paul just praised who? Women. For what? Work in gospel ministry with him. As men, yes, the Lord has appointed us as heads, certain areas that he requires us to fill. But hear me, we also have the power to empower our fellow sisters in their gifts and callings in gospel ministry as well. We should not relegate them to the back. We should say, how has God gifted you? Where is God leading you? How can we support you, encourage you, empower you, train you up so you can fulfill God's call in your life? Even when they're doing it and filling in the gap because you haven't stepped up. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Oh man, this is one I try to live by and I'll be struggling with y'all. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you again, deacons, for praying for me, because that's exactly what took place. I went from shaken and filled with rage to being calm and broken and open. So I thank you, deacons, for coming and covering me in prayer. And Colton, even though you fall in that category. Okay. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. Northwest, thank you for allowing me to be broken in front of you this morning. You renewed your care for me. Love you guys too. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. Not today. Y'all had a great opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little and how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him, through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. You should be familiar with this. I read this a couple of weeks ago, and this passage, along with another passage, are our passages for the rest of this year in light of where we are. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now unto our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That's a good word for us. You run across another believer in the Lord, greet them, acknowledge them, smile at them, because you're in like company. Even if they go to a different church, a part of a different denomination, have slightly different views, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Shannon, you guys can come. I'm going to just pray and close out. Yeah. Father God, I have no idea what you are doing. That was actually what my sermon was supposed to be about. And so I guess in a way you just chose to do it differently. Whatever your goal, your purposes were for today, I pray that we, your people, would seek to figure it out. Whatever we can learn from, whatever we can take and apply, however else, I just pray that we be sensitive to that. And for each of us, it might look differently. And even be okay with that, because today was just different. Holy Spirit, I do believe you were present. I don't, sitting now where I'm at, see that you ever left us. Technically, you are the master of ceremony. You're the one who runs the service, not me or Shannon. It's you. And today you called your own audible. I'm grateful for those of us who did stay, even online, that we just trusted to see what you had in store. And I pray that where we've landed and how we'll close will continue to be pleasing and honoring in your sight. I do pray if there's first-time visitors here and they might be like, what in the heck did I walk in on? What they saw was authentic Christianity. They saw what a life of faith looks like in real time. It just happened to happen during the service. Same for people that tune in, still here, will watch this later. That's what they'll see for the advancement of the gospel. This is what it looks like to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, admitting where you are, owning your brokenness, taking a step away continuing to worship because you're worthy of worship, even when the circumstances try to tell us that you aren't. Surrounding by a community to pray over you, to see you restored, the word being open and read and going forth. All of that is what it looks like to live a life worthy of the gospel of you, Jesus. And I pray for any visitor or any person that'll tune in, any person that's here or may watch this later that is not a Christian, that's what they see. Authenticity. Because our faith is in a living God who works through broken vessels in a broken world to look like him. And I pray that we look more like you after the day. Have your way throughout the remainder of our service. As we ask and pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.